Are you looking for a safe space to anonymously discuss your sexual health and wellness? Have you been reluctant to seek the advice you need because you're concerned you won't be understood? Well, Blex App is here for you. Blex App is a low-cost mobile app that allows you to chat with skilled professionals about anything related to sex and relationships. You can get the advice you need anytime, anywhere. That means no more making and missing therapy appointments. Blex App. Get the sex and relationship advice you need that is provided with your melanin in mind.
Welcome back.
Episode of Confessions of Millennial Milfs with your favorite sister friends,
Ashley
and Tiffany.
What's up, girl?
Nothing, girl. What's been going on?
Nothing. Trying to get ready for school. Working like a slave. But I'm blessed to have a job. But, you know, I just want to take off. But now I don't know what my excuse
is right,
because
I
can't go.
Right, isn't it like a tough balance, like being grateful that you have a job,
but
being stressed the fuck out about all the shit that you got going on at home while you working that job?
It is annoying because it's like, when I'm going to take off? Because what I'm going to say I'm doing, I can't travel any damn where.
Well, speaking of take off, so
I've been trying to think about it for weeks now. How I'm going to put that time in.
Speaking of take off, there is this girl on my team who just been taking the fuck off. Like,
but where?
Bro, this girl, so 5, 6, she got 7 days off right now. She was off all last week, and then she's off Monday and Tuesday of this upcoming week.
For what?
Now, I know a couple of these days were already planned because, like, this is when something in the water was supposed to be going on.
Right,
and she
right.
was going to go to that. But she...
she just never took her time out.
She never took it out, and she has since added the days before that and a few days after it for a whole 7 days
off. She about to quit.
What, like, where are you going, sis?
Because she about to quit and go on unemployment.
And then, you know exactly who I'm talking about, so you know she don't do no damn work. So,
oh, she about to
sis.
She about to quit and get on unemployment.
Sis.
Yeah, I'm hurt. Some people ain't even get there yet.
I just don't get it. But, yeah, I want to take some time off, too. But, where you going to go? It's really like you're going to still be in the house.
I just want to
still got to deal with all the other shit. Just not going to be working. So,
I've been
trying
to figure out how I'm going to get that out. Like, I'm taking off work because I want to sit on my couch without typing you.
No, I mean, like, legit, you need mental health. Like, you need mental health days.
Yeah, my job has been getting on my nerves.
I actually wrote my supervisor a couple weeks ago and was like, look, I need to take a half day. Like, I got stuff going on with the kids. Like, I just need to take some mental health time. I can log on later if you need me to finish, you know, what I need to do. But I can't work, and I need some mental health time. And she was like, that's perfectly fine, Tiffany. Do what you need to do.
Aww.
And, like, yeah, I love my managers. Like,
yeah, I love my manager, too. She emailed me a few weeks ago. No, this was last week. We were talking about something. I think it's so dope. Like, when she sent out mass emails, she wants everybody to respond individually cause, so she can know you got it, for one.
Right.
Especially when it's an update. But she's going to respond to you individually and say thank you, say you're welcome. And typically she emails you back and say, how are you doing? How are things? Especially
right.
for me because I'm newer to the team. So she emails me back and she's like, just let me know if it's ever overwhelming. You need to take a day. You know, you can just email me and you go log off. So yeah, I love my new manager.
Well, you need to take advantage of that. Like, this shit is really stressful.
Like, the day I was sick, she was losing it. She was like, why are you feeling pain?
We legit sometimes undermine it because we're like, well, I mean, it's just work. We're just at home. But it is legit stressful. And so if they're giving you the opportunity to take some mental health time, then take it. Like, it's never a bad thing to decompress, you know?
I think I had a fever. My throat was killing. Like, I felt crazy. And I was like, I have the Rona. And Ross was like, you haven't been anywhere to get the Rona. I'm like, yeah, but, you know. But I had went outside with Kyler that day before, or something like that. And it was cold as hell. And I had on no jacket. I had on a sweatshirt. Like, it was real
and
white
then,
girl.
And not only has the weather been so damn crazy, there's pollen outside.
Yeah, I think our grass that got cut, like, it was like a Wednesday. So I think our grass that got cut that Monday. We went outside on Tuesday. I woke up Wednesday morning feeling horrible.
It was just a combination of the cold weather, the allergies, and then your dramatic ass.
Girl, I was at work typing, and I was red. I didn't know I was red. It used to take a lot for me to get red. So,
Rob was like, you're hot as hell. You might want to go to sleep. I'm like, I'm okay.
Sitting like a crackhead. All right.
So I even my boss, I'm like, okay, I have a fever. I can't breathe. I'm really tired. And my eyes are hurting because I had a headache. Because my fever was, I was like really, really hot. So I had a headache. And so she was like, yeah, just slog off.
You probably had like a minor sinus infection.
Yeah, that's what my, like it was hurting here. I was hot. I could do everything else. I had hella mucus. And, yeah.
So. Hold up, baby. You and your asthma and your
girl was pumping it up.
Oh, baby.
I had to take a steam treatment. I had to take hot ass showers the rest of the week. That's how Rob, we were talking about the tea earlier. That was the day.
I don't know if I'm going crazy in the quarantine or if I really want to do this, but I've been thinking about cutting my hair. I was talking to you through text.
Yes, you are. Today. And I'm with it.
And, like, I really want, like, but, like, I don't know if it's, like, I really want to cut my hair or if it's, like, quarantine, cabin fever talking, like, cut your hair.
I think it'd be cute because you are, like, a place of transition. And typically
right.
For black
and I've always said that I was
going
to cut my hair when I turned 30. I know I'm, like, 2 years away. Girl. But I just feel like time, like.
I think you should do it. You're in a transition. For black women, that is a transitional piece to cut your hair.
Right, like do something.
To do something, not do even something cut different. Your hair, but do something different with your hair.
Yeah.
So I'm with it. You know, I'm off. Look at me, I have half my hair braided right now. And I have literally nowhere to go, but it's going to stay braided though. This is the time I'm trying on all my styles, so when the world opens back up, I can be like, ta-da, look.
Okay.
This is cute on me.
I'm with
versus
you.
Versus me, like, trying it out in public and people looking at me funny, like, you know, I can try it out in my home.
So, yeah, I'm not going to cut it until after the quarantine is over.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because just so I know that I'm doing it with a clear mind and cabin fever.
Yeah.
But I got them all. I got, you know, a bunch of different styles picked out.
Because that style you sent me was really cute. That'd be really cute to you.
Yeah, with like some hoop earrings. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like that's real boss
in the summer,
mom-ish.
That'd be cute.
Right?
With
like,
stripes on, like a cute little
getting
top.
Real slim, thickish, mm-hmm. New hair. Like, you know.
Very cute.
So.
Very cute.
Well, anything else in the
water? No. I mean, other than me trying to, you know, I have nothing else to do, so I'm like working on my side chick, but.
Literally, like, I kind of want to dig into that, but if we do that, like, this whole outline is going to go out the window, because we can have a whole episode just, like, off the fly on that,
like,
or you want to stick to the script, it's up to you, like, we've
we
been drinking wine,
script,
okay.
We can talk about it a little bit, but, so, everyone who knows me knows, like, my real close friends know this,
and I think we've mentioned it, she's mentioned it in a couple of episodes,
like,
and we only, like,
I would never,
episodes
yeah, there, but yeah. I would never want a girlfriend, but I do kind of, like, I'm a little bi curious, so, I think me sitting at home and having nothing else to do, like, I just been thinking about myself, like, I don't know if anyone, I don't think I've talked about it for real, but I'm going back to school to get my certs in sexual education, which is always what I wanted to do. Like, anybody know Shane Booty? Like, that is, like, Dr. Rue, Shane Booty, like, those are my bitches. Like, Shane Booty's more of our age bracket, but Dr. Rue was always what I kind of wanted to be like, but I feel like I could provide the sex appeal. Like, Dr. Rue wasn't really that sexy, but...
So, I used to watch Dr. Rue, too.
But she know,
like middle of high school, I'm up at midnight watching Dr. Rue.
She be putting me on, but she's not attractive, but she puts me on, you know? Shane Booty is cute.
Right.
but she puts me on too. So they have like my inspos and I'm like, you know, I like, I've always like when I was in school, I never really knew what I wanted to do with psychology. So that's why I was mad when I had collar at the time I did, because it kind of fucked me up with my grad school plan.
Right.
But it gave me time to really divulge into what I wanted to
figure
do.
Figure out what area you wanted to dive into.
Cause I didn't know. And I feel like I would have went to school for, clinical and I would have wasted money.
Right.
So, now, time's passed. I've learned myself more and I had collar. Like, I know what I want in sexual education because in the black community, we need it.
Right.
We, you know, have gays, we have transgender, we have down low, we have spouses who want to swing. And it's just a lot of things that people do all the time. And
then there's a bunch of stigmas around them.
Stigmas, it's frowned upon, there's sex workers, there's human trafficking now. Like, it's just so much.
And then you got your everyday people who just like to be nasty.
And
like
you just like to be nasty. You have kinky hello. So... And it's just nothing, like when Rob and I have our conversations about college and the things we were doing before we became a couple and our friends and the shit people we know doing now, it's just crazy that a lot of people be doing this shit and it's just so frowned upon.
Yes.
But it's always white people. So, that you think, anyway, well, niggas be doing it too.
So with all
when you like really get to talk to people, you see, oh shoot, I'm not the only one who likes this stuff.
Like my friends and I talk about all types of sex shit. Like it used to kind of get a little bad, and we used to do it in front of guys in college, and it used to get really misconstrued. But we're grown now, we're all in relationships, or we're just mature. And we talk about shit, and they'd be like, wow, we're really trifling. But we're like, but we're like mature trifling. Like, we're confident in what we like to do. Right. We're going to do it. So
I mean, like our conversation in one of our last episodes when we were talking about our oral fixation.
Yeah.
Like, I came over and was like, okay, this is what I did. Like,
it's just what I like to do.
And we are confident in ourselves and the things that we do to talk about those things with our friends. And I think that it's great that you want to become an educator to, like, you know, make it be known, like
my goal,
you can be open about the things that you like.
My goal is to host like workshops for like younger girls, for married women where their relationship is like kind of hitting a standstill and they feel like they gotta break up. And intimacy is a thing that is a big part of a relationship. People don't really play, they don't really emphasize how much it is, and it is. Right. And I personally believe that a lot of marriages, relationships could last longer. They may not last forever because things do happen. You know, life takes a toll or whatever, but they could last longer or could be a little bit more structured if we were able to get more into our intimacy component with each other.
And I think that it's good that
that's
part of the sex education, because you
it's
know,
not just about you fucking. Like, right. It's more.
There, you have to have intimacy or the sex don't mean shit.
And I think a lot of relationships fall apart because they just, you know, we change, we're evolving, we're humans, and people grow and they just get ahead of themselves, or they grow apart, life takes a toll, they just, like, I think I was talking about an episode with Rob, it was Boris Kojo and Nicole, they were on live talking about the relationship, how their kids are pretty much grown, and she feels like they've pretty much forgotten that they're married, basically, because they're so in the everyday routine, their new normal is taking over so much, they forgot about them.
Yep.
And I think with them being able to realize that, be accountable and focus on it and fix it is a good thing, but not everybody do that.
Not everybody can pick up on, okay, this is where
right.
things went wrong and this is what we need to do to fix
to fix it. So that's my goal. Once I get out of school, like, you know, do workshops and do this and continue to just try to make it more normal, because it is normal. We all fuck, we're all here. We didn't get here by the stork, or like Kyler tried to tell me the other day about the baby cake.
Hello.
So it's real. So yeah, working on that. Again, working on my girlfriend or my boo side chick, not my girlfriend, because that's the spirit. That means we have to like each other. But
so you just
you can ask. Go ahead.
If I start asking questions, this whole episode,
I'm gonna bring it back. I'm gonna bring it back.
Okay. So you just want somebody that'll just come in and just do stuff with y'all and go. Yeah. Like, we don't have to talk every day.
So
we don't have
bringing it back to sex education. Uh-huh. Okay, so one of the girls, so one of my friends does this. My very close friend does this. She opened up to me and told me, and I was like, oh my God, we are the same person, more than I thought. But then I was on YouTube, because everybody wants to love YouTube. Like, I'm enrolled in YouTube, basically, for everything I do. And one of the people I watch on YouTube, she's married, she has a child. Her child's a year behind Kyler, so he's two. And I guess she went on live recently, and people commented, because she had a bitch there, because she's married. And I guess the way the live was set up, people was getting the drift that she was a sister wife.
Okay.
So she made the post to be, now the girl backstory, she's from where I'm from. I don't know her, but she's a little bit younger than me, but I know of her. And she's kind of blown up on Instagram now from like YouTube and stuff like that. But before she was married, she was gay. So that was like how she's cute. She's really personable, but people kind of was in her business, because like you were literally just gay and now you have a husband. So it's kind of weird, but her YouTube is funny. She's a cool mom, she's really dope, and she's really transparent. So she went on her Instagram, one of YouTube, to talk about how people was going in on her live. Mm-hmm. And she don't usually feel like she gotta explain herself, but she does, because they've kind of talked about it in prior videos, but they haven't been open, like verbatim saying it, but saying it in a roundabout way what gotcha. They do. And she wasn't a part of it. She just was a friend. But it made me think, like, she's a whole YouTuber. From not, like, an hour from us.
Right.
And she's married. She has a child. She has a regular life. And they have a girl from time to time. Like, it's very normal. And I think when I first had Kyler, it was something that I wanted to do, and then Kyla came, and it just was like, I'm a mom, I can't do these things anymore.
Right.
Which is not true. And so when I see women that are parents,
think about King Dior and Just Said Jazz.
That's the, yeah, you know, so with me getting more into this field and learning stuff, it's kind of making me feel like, oh, maybe I could have done that years ago. But it's okay. Things happen all the time. So yeah, I just want us to have, like, I think from what I got from her video, she didn't want to expose the girl, because I think they're trying to figure out if they like the girl like that. But they do that from time to time. That's just what they like to do. Like, she still likes girls.
So just randoms.
They just have, like, a consistent girl that maybe lasts a couple months. And if she wants more and that's not what they want, they probably let her go. Whatever.
So would you rather
be consistent or have, like, a bunch of randoms?
Yeah.
You know I'm
all right, not. So I got a follow-up question to that. So, yeah, be consistent or just randoms.
Well, my friend that does it told me I need to be careful because girls are crazy. But
so it'll probably be better to have randoms.
Like a random or, like, a few consistents. So maybe, like, a but random, like, as far as, like, they're scheduled. Like, I'm, like, a polygamist. No. Yeah. But just a few that I know I have on speed dial.
So, like, we don't have to talk all the time. Mm. I don't got to see you all the time. But, hey, if we call you and say, hey, we want to have some fun this weekend.
Right.
Or next weekend, you know.
You wouldn't be opposed to setting aside some time to be available.
Okay.
Like, that doesn't bother me that, you know. Like, I think when I had Kyler, it was just something that was just like, bitch, are you gay? And I'm not. But I do. I honestly feel like once I finally get to do this, I don't even know if I'm even going to want to do it again, but the store is going to be great.
But you know that you got to at least try one time to,
like,
know
I've made
that,
out with
okay,
a girl and did
yes, all, I like this or no,
all of that
this
stuff,
ain't for me.
But I've made out with a girl, I've done all this stuff, I've just never had sex with a girl. And I was in bliss when we were making out, but did I like her? No. When I saw her after that, I was a little weirded out. Like, it was just a little weird, but... Could I have,
okay.
Like, I've been looking into it, but I'm not doing shit until this quarantine's over, because I feel like if I was to do this now, like, she would be attached. I think we're in a relationship.
Yeah, because we're, like, on lockdown. Okay. Last question, and then we can go into what this episode is supposed to be about. Do you want to, like, just meet somebody, like, out and it just happened to go there, or, like, do you want it to be like a whole interview process to see?
No, because it's going to be boring and it's going to transfer into the bedroom.
Okay.
So I want it to be as organic as possible.
Spontaneous.
Yes. Like, I'm a flirt anyway, and sometimes I reel myself back in, but, like, I think you're cute when I flirt. Like, it's actually kind of depressing because it's funny to learn how to reel back in. Like, especially if it's, like, liquor involved. Yes. But, like, organic. Like, we're at a bar, and I think you're cute, and I know you like bitches, because I be knowing my gay meter is on. So, like, I remember one time before we went to lockdown, we went out somewhere, and the bartender was gay, and she was flirting with me, and I was just like, yeah. You're not, like, she wasn't even cute, though, so it was, like, to me, like, I like girly girls, so I don't need you to be butch.
Yeah, you said that a couple episodes.
Yeah, so she was like, she would have been the man, and I don't need two men. I don't like that. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's one flirt. Like, and then it just blossomed from there.
All right, this is my last question.
So it goes, it goes.
My last question. So do you want Rob to, like,
be involved, or just, like, can he fuck her?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Like, that wouldn't bother you?
No, and I think what's wrong with me?
I couldn't do that.
Like, I don't think I don't think he would like it, though. Like, I think it's, like, he's a nigga, so yes, he's gonna fuck because he's a dick, but I think
it would be weird for
him. Yeah, of course. I don't think it would last long. I think he'd get, like, 3 pumps in, and he would be weirded the fuck out, and he would just slowly back away. Like, I think he would do it just to get it off his mind, because he's a guy, it's sex. But I honestly don't think he would be like, you know, some niggas be just like, pump, 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 back and forth. No. I don't think he would do that.
Okay. All right. I'm just excited for this to happen for you guys so that I can hear the story. Like,
why does everybody say that?
Like, like I said,
it's not happening here.
I know that.
It's not going to happen in Richmond. It's going to be somewhere around.
Okay, but yeah. I don't know. I just know that this is going to be a great story. And yeah.
Yeah. This will be the first time.
That's nothing that I would ever do. And so I would like to, you know.
I think, would I have done this in the beginning of our relationship? Yes. But I'm happy I didn't, because it would have been so, like, not thought out. Like, I'm really calculated. And then calculated. You and
him didn't know each other like you know each other now.
It would have been calculated. It would have been so immaturely planned and would have been messy. Probably wouldn't have ended well. Like, yeah. Like, I just don't think it would have been. I just don't think it would have been right. So, I'm happy I didn't. We didn't do it then. Like, Kyler came at a good time. Like, I was pissed. Like, what the fuck? I was so planned. But, no, he didn't.
So were your parents like outgoing and like adventurous and spontaneous?
Why am I talking about sex all the time? Like, my dad and I, duh, no, it's not happening. Like, I mean, he's open with me, yes. Like, when we discuss things, like, sex wise, not really, but relationship, yes. My mom and I talk about sex all the time. Like, when I first had Kyler, since my birth was so traumatic, once I was cleared, I was actually afraid to have sex. Mm-hmm. Like, I was had the urges and everything, but I was scared. So I told my mom, and she was like, all right, it's this cream. I haven't seen the cream in years, because your sister are grown, but it's this cream that you can buy. It's called Nympho Cream, and it basically, like, numbs you completely down there. So, because I was afraid of the pain aspect, because I had sex. And I actually had, the last time I had sex was the night I went into labor, because that's how I actually went into labor. And, so, because I was, like, overdue, technically, and I was like, my mom was like, try that. Like, cause I want my grandson. Like, it was so selfish of her. But she kept telling me, like, what is it going to be? Like, she's like, so come on New Year's, and he did. So when, and then when I told her I was getting induced, she was pissed. Like, oh no, that means my baby will be overdue. I can't handle overdue grandbaby. So she was like, you need to have sex or something to make sure he gets here. So I had sex, and then that was the last time, because I had a C-section, so my clear time was longer and all that. So, and I was in so much pain, being that he was stuck, and then I had to get him pushed back up to have him. Like, so I was, like, a lot of pain for a long time. Yeah, when
I
heard that
last episode, oh my God.
Yeah, I was in a pain for a lot of time, like a long time. And I was so out of it and on so much medicine. I didn't know the story until Rob told me. Because, of course, he won't know shit. So he was just telling me, like, I think one day I was in so much pain, I was just telling him. And he was just like, yeah, a lot happened to you, bro. I don't know if you want to know, but I can tell you, because it was a lot. And I was like, I just was intrigued, because, you know when you're in labor, like, once you get tired, you just
be there. You really don't remember stuff until, like, somebody else brings it up.
Right. So he was just telling me, like, you bled a lot. When you decided you didn't want to push anymore, Kyler was literally there, but you dead-ass didn't have the energy. Like, it was literally, I could see it, like, on your face. Like, when you went to push, you've been pushing for so long. It was just like you had nothing left in you. Like, he was a battery that was dead. Like, it was there. So, he was like, so I can only imagine. He was like, he wasn't in there at the beginning because they had to get me set up and all that stuff. So, I, like, felt everything. So, it was just bad. So, when it was time, you know, Rob's a human. And, like, yeah, we had been doing, like, oral stuff. But at that point, he hadn't had sex in, like, 8 weeks.
Bro.
So, I felt bad. And I was telling my mom could ask him, like, have you done it yet? How do you feel? And I'm like, no, because I'm scared. She told me about the cream. And she kept saying, it's only in the 7.5, though. And I'm like, I'm not driving hour for some cream. I'm like, is it on Amazon? And she was like, no. So when I finally did it, maybe like a first time it was okay. Like, it was just like regular Robin Ashley sex. But then maybe like the second or third time, I noticed that my body was different after having Kyler. Like, my responses to things were different. So, we had sex, and I had my first orgasm ever. So, I called my mom, right? And I was like, what are you doing? She was at work. And so, this was her old job. So, I was like, what are you doing? And she was like, at work. You called me on my job phone. And so, I have to tell you something about sex. And she was like, oh, God, I'm calling you on my cell phone. So I just called her and I was telling her, and she was like, but how long have you been having sex? Like, it's my mom. Like, I know you lost your virginity when, so what? And so, like, literally, Rob was in the car and I was like, yeah. So, like, I just felt like I had to shake so bad, mom. I couldn't control myself. And so she was like, it's called an orgasm, yeah. And she was like, it usually happens when you're in love. And I was like, or you think you are anyway. And I was like, yeah, I had one. And she was like, is this your first one? And I was like, I think so. And so she was like, she couldn't stop laughing. Because she was just like, first of all, you called me out of my work day to tell me this. Second of all, you seem so like, whoa. And so then I had to follow up and was like, so everyone I've slept with is like maybe mad. Like the fact that I'm just now experiencing this, like I'm pissed.
What the fuck were we doing before?
Nothing. Like I'm pissed. So yeah, we talk about everything. So when I was afraid to have sex, I told her that. Like when she, the first time she talked to Rob on the phone, she brought it up. And I was so embarrassed. She made me sound like a fucking nympho. So she had been calling me, and I had kind of been, like, structuring our phone calls. At this point, I was staying at Rob's house more, mm-hmm. and she would call me when I was there. And one day, she finally called, and I think Rob had, like, coughed or something, and she heard him. Oh, he's playing the game. And she heard, she's like, you're at that boy's house. And I had her on speaker, and I was like, oh, my God. And so he was like, how you doing, ma'am? And she was like, let me talk to him. And I was like, oh, God. So she was like, hey, I'm Sashley Smile. How are you? What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. What do you go to school for? Blah, blah, blah. And so then she was like, I know you're my daughter. I haven't said it. I know my daughter. And I'm like, ugh. And so I'm just like.
So your mom's just really free.
Like, she's super free. It like
just says whatever.
Like, Rob was kind of caught off guard. Like, he gulped and everything. Like, ugh. Like, he mouthed to me, do I answer back? I'm like, just fucking say what I say. She don't be fucking.
That's kind of how my mom is. But your she mama wasn't funny. Like that when I was growing up.
Well, now that you have kids, she is.
Like, no, like, when her and my dad were together, she wasn't like that when her and my dad were together. Like,
my mom has a literally.
My mom legit, this lady, I didn't meet her until after her and my dad weren't together anymore.
You know, I can agree with that. My mom, like, when I had my sex talk, my mother did not give it to me. It was my grandmother mm-hmm. when I got my period. It was my grandmother's been a nurse all my life.
And my mom has always, like, been open and talked to us about, like, sex and stuff. Not to the extent that she does now. But she's always wanted to have open lines of communication when it came to
we
stuff
didn't,
like that.
A whole time I should say that, we didn't really get to that, like, but like, hey, girl, until my parents were broken up.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But, so this episode is supposed to be, I don't know how long we're in, but.
Oh, we're good. It's supposed to be about, you know, how, like, our relationships are
affected
by
that
affect
we see, like,
our,
growing up affect our relationships as adults. And so, you know, I've been kind of dating again, and so I've been reflecting on my parents' relationship and the relationships that I saw growing up, mm-hmm. and like what I want to take into my future relationships, things that I, you know, are complete, you know, deal breakers,
right.
And you know, just how the things that we see affect us in our adult life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, because it's very, I know my parents, they were divorced first day of sixth grade, which I feel like I tell them all the time, it was like super traumatic for me, but whatever. Could even start a new school without, you know, finding out your parents aren't together anymore. But anyway, like it was real dramatic. Like I was literally getting dressed and I'm going to the car. My mom's like, say goodbye to this place. You're not coming back. And I'm like, my parents have argued. Yes, I wasn't stupid, but I'm just like, well, this is a lot. And so, yeah, but, that plays a big toll on me, I know for a fact, because I don't handle transition well at all. Like, I do.
Because it was traumatic.
Yeah. So, like, I'd be real mad when something changes, and I have no clue that it's happening. Like, I've noticed
that.
You
got to have control over
your
transition.
Yeah, like, my control issues are bad. And I know a lot of it has something to do with that, with how their relationship kind of broke up. Like, I really be on it. So, that is a very true statement. Your parents' relationships, how you grew up, does play a part in how you are now.
So, like I said, I've been reflecting on my parents, you know, relationship for one. So, like, they were married for 19 years.
Well, my parents were married for 17.
They were married for 19 years. Well, you know, they separated a couple times. So, like, you know.
Apparently, my parents did, too. I didn't know that.
We knew that they weren't really happy, you know.
Well, yeah,
like,
I knew that.
Things would be okay for a few years. And then we wake up one day and we have to sit down for a talk. They're like, okay, your dad's going to stay here for a little while, and mm-hmm. it's like, what? And then they come back together like everything was okay, and we wouldn't have that same sit down like, daddy's coming back home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing that I never want to have, you know, with my children, confusion.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be open and honest about, you know,
everything.
Yeah, about everything that's mm-hmm. going on with them. So that's one thing that I, you know, can say I remember and am taking for, you know, as far as my...
That could explain why our moms are so open with us now, too. Because I think... I
know they realize what they lacked in the past.
Yeah, my mom made a comment kind of about that, basically saying, you know, she knew, for me, because I'm older than Dre by 6 years, so she knew that I saw a lot with her and my dad, just my dad. And she wanted to make, and she grew up kind of in a strict-ass household. My right. grandparents are super strict. And so my grandmother still is strict, and we still cannot go along to this day because she's so fucking strict. So she knew that, like, when we got older and was able to have these conversations and it wouldn't be uncalled-for conversations, she could be as open with us as possible because she didn't want to ever have that type of atmosphere where we're confused about every goddamn thing.
Right.
We're not comfortable. She should always be our first person that we feel like we should call.
Right.
So that could be a lot of the reason why, too. We did witness a lot growing up.
And it was opposite for us. We didn't witness much. Like, they never argued in front of us. Like I said, when they would reconcile, he would just come back home.
Yeah.
So I think the lack of what we saw is why she's so open now. Mm-hmm. And so... You saying that, it's kind of interesting that, you know, because y'all saw stuff,
mm-hmm.
she's open. And because we didn't see stuff, she's open, you know?
Lord, for Drea, she was younger, so she didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Right.
But for me, I saw all types of shit. Like, I know why I'm so crazy. Like, on the Q&A that comes out this week, like, you're going to hear it. Like, my mom goes into, it's like a point where we're talking about, it's how we kind of ended it. We were just talking about what we admire about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom gets to me and she's like, even though you're really crazy like me, you actually, you know, Drea's more of the calm one. You have literally no chill. But, and I'm just like, I'm just like,
go 0 to 1,000 real quick.
And it's so crazy because I remember, like, my parents would argue and my mom was like, good for picking up a weapon, okay? Like a pan, yeah, a pot.
She likes to throw shit.
So it's like, it didn't hit me until she made that comment. I'm like, so, like, when I'm not getting into it, which has been rare, but when it gets deep and, like, crazy, like, I'm her. Like, I will pick up a suitcase. Anything with volume and weight and injury prone is what I pick up. Nothing to kill you, but I want to break a leg or two. So, and I'm like, that's not okay. But it's crazy because, like you said, like, so much, I saw so much with them. Some of the shit I just replicate unknowingly.
Right.
But a lot of the things I try to keep from, like, Rob and I, we argue, we're human. But when we do, like, it hits me different if Kyler hears it. Because his parents are together. He grew up like you. Like, his parents didn't really expose him to that. Like, they were not stupid. They knew what they were fussing. But it wasn't like how I could literally be at the bottom of the steps and I could come stand at the bottom and watch
you're talking about.
Yeah. So, it really hits me different when Kyler hears stuff like that. So I try to deviate from that.
I hate when my kids hear.
It's
like,
it does take a toll. It does take a toll.
And I just feel like home is supposed to be their safe place. They shouldn't have to deal with argue. You know, like, I know that there are going to be disagreements, but if you can do anything to keep your kids from hearing it, you know, then
my mom and I had a long conversation about that.
So that's one thing I respect about my parents, because it keeps your kids from not only keeps hearing it, but it keeps them from, like, having to pick sides or knowing, like, oh, mommy did this to daddy or daddy did this. Like, you know, you don't want that with your kids.
Like, I love the relationship I have with my mom because she's so open. It took a while for us to get there. I did go to my period where I just hated the world because I was a teenage girl. Like, what the fuck? But I had to tell her, like, you know, when you and dad used to get into arguments, it was things that y'all both would say and y'all didn't think I could hear. And I think it was okay. And, you know, she apologized, and we kind of just built a bridge and got over, because what the fuck? It was years ago. I'm 26 now. But it didn't take a toll.
Right. So have you had that conversation with your dad about?
Girl, he has no accountability, okay? Gotcha. I don't know if that's because I went to school and I just am such a hard ass, or because I'm a hard ass on him because he's my dad. He has no accountability for anything.
Gotcha.
So once I got, like, my mom, we had a long conversation a few months ago, and when my parents broke up, I thought my mom played a big part in it. Because growing up, I thought my mom was the bad guy. Because my dad was, I saw my dad's girl, so I know wrong. But now that I'm a mother, I'm in a relationship, I'm grown, I've dealt with my own shit. And to see how they both, like, when I got in trouble, to see how my mother responded versus my dad.
Yeah.
Explained a lot. You know, my mom was willing to
put her house on the line when I was facing my charges.
Right.
My dad was just calling me. Like, you're not going to do anything through this phone when I'm facing jail time.
Yeah, that's one thing I can't say. My mom is, like, the more support. Like, I know if I'm really going through it, yeah, it's going to be my mama who get me out of this shit. Like,
yeah.
And I love my dad. I didn't take anything from him. Like, you know, but I know that if I'm in some shit, that it's going to be my mom that's
saying. It's going to be your mother. Like, and my mom talks about that a little bit on our Q&A. She talks about, you know, being a mom and how she had to change a lot with Drea and I once my dad was out of the picture.
Right.
Because, like, your parents, they broke up.
When we were, like, I was 20.
Yeah, but your dad still be, you know, doing shit.
Yeah.
So,
when they separated...
When you were older,
too. When I was in high school, that was like, the longest separation. Like, he actually moved out. We were in our house, like...
Mm-hmm.
He got his own place. He wasn't just, like, going to stay at his sister's household.
Right, right.
He moved out. And he was not a good dad during those few months.
Yeah.
Like, she had to beg him to give us lunch money. Like, stuff that he would have done willingly when he was at home.
Out of spite.
Is now that you're gone, you think you don't have to do those things? And I never understood that. Like,
yeah.
Because you've been a good dad,
that was my dad
all this time, but now that you're not in the household, you feel like you don't gotta do?
That was my dad. Like, my dad, well, it was short-lived, but, you know, when I was growing up, my dad was in the streets, my mom had her businesses, and we never had a one for nothing. But when my mom was like, that street life, too much shit had happened. My life was in danger, so was hers and his, for real. Drea wasn't here yet, but my mom was just like, no, like, we need to rethink this life. And he was just like, I want to do those things, but it's money. And they kind of couldn't see eye to eye on that. Mm-hmm. And there were other factors in there, too, but once he had to basically live right, it's like he couldn't do right. And their relationship just kind of crumbled from there. And when they were finally broken up, at first, he was on it. I give him that. He was. But it's like my mom would tell him things. And looking back on it, she would normal things. Like, don't be having my kids all types of places.
Right.
You mad because you feel like I'm going to control. But when you were in the house, you didn't have us in all types of places. So why? Because you got visitation, you want to have us in Tom, Dick, and Harry house. Like, right. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's a stable, more stable parent. She's the parent that makes sure we eat and get clothed necessarily. So you kind of got to listen to her. Unless you can do more. And it's like, once he kept getting too much, no, you can't do that. Versus him just, like, respecting that, he just would be like, well, I'm telling him, if I can't do it, I'm not coming.
Gotcha.
So, he got too many, he couldn't do it, so he just went up.
Okay. So, are there any traits in your father that you look forward to avoid in the men that you pick? And what are those things?
So, it's so funny, because when I first started dating, like, I loved the bad-ass man. Like,
because that's what?
Yeah. Like, my dad was like... both my parents last week, because they're both Cancer, so they're both 0 to 100. So, I don't even know how they made it that far, 17 years, but whatever. So, they're literally the same person, but they're 9 days apart. So, my parents would, my dad was just like, he didn't give a fuck. So, that was attractive to me. Like, any guy I would date, I loved a hothead man, which is stupid, because... You can be anywhere, he's going to do anything, because he's a hothead. You can get bumped in the line, and he's going to want to kill the nigga. And I used to think it was so cute, but now I look for a protector, yes, because that's ultimately what I liked about it. He was protecting me, but...
Not a hothead, someone
has sense. also, you know, I love a free spirit, because I'm a free spirit, but there's consequences with being a free spirit. Like... You know, drugs, for instance. You know, like, for me, I love a good drink. And before I got my DUI, I was a smoker. So, but I used to do both of them with no regard. Gotcha. Explaining how I got the DUI. So, I have no problem with you indulging in those vices, but I have to make sure you have some type of control and
right.
willpower. if I feel like you don't, then it scares me to see someone that's just like a fucking crackhead, basically. Like, it does. Because I've been there, done that. So, to be with someone that's like a hothead, someone that has no willpower, those are turnoffs. Someone that it would draw me to you, yes. But as soon as I see the things that I don't like about those traits, I'm done.
It's going to push you away.
Yeah. Or someone that is very confident, but not a dick. Like, I have no problem with you being confident, but you don't know everything. Like, you just don't. Like, and my dad thinks he knows everything and literally knows jack shit. So, like, yeah. But those, like, a few things. But, like, it's crazy because my dad loves Rob. And it was so funny because Rob is not usually what I would date. So, he is, like, underneath, but aesthetically, like, looking at him, you would not think he's a nigga beat somebody up in the club. You just wouldn't.
Right.
So, Rob would be... So, my dad, when he met him, he just was like, I like this dude. I'm just like, what the fuck? But I guess you can say because he's a hood nigga, so he can see the real.
Right.
So, he likes him.
But he likes that Rob is polished.
Yeah. So, I was just like, okay, whatever. But I was really, like, confused. Like, after they met, I was like, he really likes him. Like, he used to call him and everything. Like, it was just weird. But it's a lot of things on my dad I don't like, and I just, like, I'm happy Rob is a hell of a straight. Like, gotcha. When we first had Kyler, we had an issue where he was, like, he had a willpower. He had a willpower, he had a fucking control. Like, I feel like my dad allowed a lot of people to get into his head on what he should do and what he shouldn't do versus making sure house and home is ready and right. together versus trying to please everybody else. And Rob was going through a period where he was doing that. But we had a conversation that was handled. If that would have been my mother and my dad, my mom would have still been fighting tooth and nail. So it's just like, it's little things that I can see similarities, but I get different results. Like, my mom had to do so much and still, to
like
this
you
day.
You want to be similar, but I don't.
Yeah, you're
going to
fall
like
in love
that.
With somebody that's like your father.
Right.
You are. But it's not going to be verbatim, though. Yeah. it's gonna be things that you just don't want.
Because you've seen how that relationship mm-hmm.
Especially
was,
if your parents aren't
you
together.
You know what you liked about it and what mm-hmm. you don't. So, with that being said, are there things that your dad did for your mom that you expect out of your man mm-hmm. to do for you?
Everything. Like, so my dad, when he was good, he had his moments where he was majority, more than some. But he was like, he did everything for her. My mom had to, for a while, my mom had to want for nothing. And she was a queen of the castle.
Right.
So when I'm with you, you need to do everything for me. Now, I'm not, in, like, I'm not retarded or can't do shit for myself. No. But with that being said, I expect gifts. I expect when I want to get my nails done, my hair done, you're going to pay for it. I don't want to pay for it. And I like expensive hair. So, I don't like synthetic hair. So, you got to buy the human hair. And it's usually over 18 inches. And when I want my hair braided, it's not going to be long braids or big braids. They're going to be skinny and they're going to be, not going to be short braids. They're going to be long, skinny braids. And they're probably going to be knotless. Yeah.
I mean, she'd be cute.
So, I mean, like, I'm really, like, I know what I want and I'm going to get it.
Right.
And it's a turnoff when I ask somebody to do something for me and they just say no. Or they just say, yeah, I don't, they have a reason. Like, just do it.
So, you're slightly spoiled.
Yeah.
But that's what you saw.
Yeah, I'm going to still get that shit now. Well, see what she's like. My mom made me mad one day because, like, my mom moved into her last place. My dad moved her in. Like, and I was just like, it was like when they were on a good spell, so it just happened at the right time. And she was like, I'm just get your dad help move in. And I'm like, wow, times have changed. But, like, this 2 years, girl, you wouldn't got him touching shit. But she
like
was dire
me,
need.
My dad was like a manly man. Like, my mama never had to say, hey, the grass needs to be cut. Like, every yeah. Saturday, my daddy was cutting the grass. Like, and that's what I want. And I shouldn't have to tell you that the grass needed to be cut.
Yeah.
If I see it, then your ass saw it 2 days ago, and it should have been cut. Like,
thank you.
Like, it's shit like that. Like, my yeah. dad was a man, and my mom didn't have to worry about certain mm-hmm. shit. And I want a manly man. And, like, my dad went to church. I want a man to go to church. Like, he won't perfect.
Oh, no.
I mean, but nobody is.
I don't want no perfect
but
man,
want,
but yeah.
I want somebody that I can go to church with, you know? Like,
when my parents was good, like, my dad spoiled her. My dad kind of knew what she wanted before she knew it.
Yeah, like...
Or what she wanted to do or whatever.
For the most part, you know, outside of the separations and things like that, like, there were a lot of good things that my parents' relationship had that I look I have to have in a relationship. Like, after being in a relationship that I really wasn't happy in for 6 years, like, you really, like, okay, this is what I have to have.
Yeah.
Moving forward. And, like, you know, so that's just kind of where I've been, you know, lately. And so I've been doing a little research, watching TV and stuff. And so I found an article that kind of talks about seven ways our parents' relationships affect ours. Mm-hmm. And so I was reading through it. I'll just go through. I'm going to read the whole thing, just touch on the seven different things briefly. So number one is, it's an article on Bustle, by the way. And we'll put the link in the description.
Yes.
Number one is our willingness to accept abusive behavior. So it's basically saying, like, if you grow up in a household where, you know, you see abusive things, then, you know, you're more likely to stay in a relationship. That is one reason why the whole putting hands on me was, like, a non-negotiable. Like, no, that's, you ruined any chance, because I never saw that growing up. My dad, I never saw my dad put his hands on my mom or anybody, you know, around us. And so that's something that I can't do.
I think growing up, I didn't see, like, no crazy, like, TV show type abuse, but a lot of mind control.
Gotcha.
So, I don't play that shit. Like, I don't play trying to mind game me. Like, that is something that sends me from 0 to 100, and you get the cray-cray out of me. Like, and I don't play that. My dad used to do that shit a lot.
It's funny that you say that, because I never, you know, saw anything like that. But, you know, I watch a lot of movies and documentaries. Yeah, yeah. That I'm well-read. And so, I, you know, I pick up on shit like that. And so, like, I do not like that. When I feel like you're trying to be, you know, mentally abusive, like, that really, like, no,
My dad was good for that.
And some people really don't understand that, like, abuse is not always physical. Mm-hmm. Like, abuse can be mental, verbal, and, like, people legit sometimes don't understand that the things that they do are
abusive.
Are abusive.
Or abusive behaviors, anyway.
That blows my mind. Like, how do you not...
My dad used to do some girl. He used to, So my mom and him, I guess, used to argue about us being left home alone. You know, back in the day, I don't... It probably still is this way. I don't fucking know, but... You like, in Virginia, it was an age limit of how old you could be to be left home alone. Whatever. My parents never followed that rule. Anyway, I was pretty self-sufficient. So, my mom used to be mad, though, because, like, it's a fucking law. Like, stop leaving her home alone for you to go to the corner store or do whatever. Like, quick shit. Yes, it's quick, but anything can happen.
Right.
So, they got into it, I guess, real bad. So, one day, my mom I guess this was his way of trying to explain to her that it wasn't bad. He made it seem like we got taken. At the time, I was like, "Key, this is funny. Mommy's so mad." But looking back on it as a parent, like, I would have fucking killed
it
Rob.
It was mental abuse.
Like, that's not funny at all. Yeah. Like, what? And then on top of that, she was actually within rights to tell you that was stupid. Like, something. Yeah, so he was a mindfucker. Okay. For sure.
Yeah, so our willingness to accept it.
Yeah, like, based on, I don't play
whether
that.
Whether we see it or not.
I don't got time for you playing with my mind.
All right, number two. It's how comfortable we are with our intimacy. I think we, you know, are clear that, you know, our moms are...
They're super open with
us. The result of that. But, you know, it kind of says that if you grew up with parents who were super affectionate or lovey-dovey, it might be second nature. And so my parents were, like, the kind of... Like, they would, like, kind of kiss in the kitchen.
Yeah,
my
dad would
walk by and, like, smack her on the butt. And so I'm like, you know, PDA, like, if we're out, like...
Oh, yeah, I'm all for
PDA.
Pull
me close and kiss me, or, like,
I'm
you know...
I'm all for that. Like, it's a problem if you're not doing that.
Right, like...
Like, Rob...
You gotta fucking touch me.
Rob, it was... Like, apparently that was just not Rob's thing. So, like, when Rob and I first started dating and people would see him kissing me, like, his friends, that's how they knew it was real. So, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, bitch, it's always real. Like, what? When we kiss, it's always what it is. But, looking back on it, it's like, wow, that wasn't his thing. So, he must really like you if he's kissing on you in front of everybody. For me, it's like, if you with me, you can be kissing on me for everybody anyway because I'm the HIPC. Like, what's going on? So...
I'm really into PDA, so, like, so the first date we went on, I think I told you this, like, we were sitting at dinner, and I was like, I want to kiss you, and he leaned over the table and kissed me, and, like,
it's my thing.
Right, like, okay, cool,
I've never been that bitch. Like, I'm not going to kiss you the first day. I will tongue you down if you're cute and we've had a great day.
I want to kiss you.
Yeah, probably within the first 5 minutes.
I want you to kiss me.
If you're cute, you came dressed nice or eating some good food, yeah, let's kiss.
And he was with it. He leaned over the table and he kissed me.
I think only one date. That date was just horrible anyway, but Yeah, we didn't kiss. He tried to kiss me, and I think we kissed, and I was just standing there. Like, he was kissing me. I was just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, the fuck? But, yeah.
So, yeah, our parents' relationship shaped how, you know, we are in every facet of our relationships, yeah. You know. All right, so number three, the way we handle conflict resolution.
Sorry, Trina. You made me tell psycho. I was like, no. I'm getting better.
So it basically says, you know, it basically, if you grew up with a lot of yelling, you'll be prone to, you know, following the same
footsteps. Yo, that's like Rob and you grew up the same way. Like, our parents didn't really do that. So I think our first argument, I swear to God, Tiffany, Rob was sitting on the couch staring at me, and I was screaming at the top of my lungs, voice cracking on. He didn't say a damn word.
Yeah, I don't do well when people yell at me.
So I was just like, so I'm getting mad. I'm like, say something back. What's up? Yes. Say something back.
I don't.
Do later on, he was like, I don't do that arguing shit. And I'm like, why?
I don't do well.
Everybody argue. He's no. Like, well, I know.
I don't do, like, I do not like to be yelled at. Like,
I'm like, you should. I like it.
The only time I got yelled at is when I was in trouble. So if you're yelling at me, it would bring back the childhood and I get defensive.
So then I'm like,
I didn't really do nothing wrong. So I feel like it puts me in a bad place. And I don't like that.
I'm
like,
argument. I was like, wow.
So can we talk like dogs? Like, do you got to yell at me? Like, I didn't do nothing.
I was like, so am I crazy? Like, what is
it? Yeah, so I didn't see it. So I don't like it.
Yeah, he was the same way.
I do understand, you know, sometimes you got to argue, but, like, everything don't have to be
that's how, like, if Rob gets loud, that's how I know I didn't took it too far.
Yeah, like.
That's how I know I didn't push too many buttons.
I'm a real sit there and let you talk type of person. Yeah. But, like, if you go on too long, then that's when the crazy come out and anything is liable to come out.
Y'all.
So, that's, like, don't. I don't like to argue.
She get loud when she, she's like, okay, I'm going to give you about 5 seconds, but you keep going. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, see, I'm not going to say who it was, but you heard me get really nasty with somebody on the phone. And I did not want to get nasty with that person.
But you gave it about 5 minutes.
I gave him.
Which is enough time.
And she kept going, and so I had to.
Y'all, that shit was so funny.
And you know that was very out of character because I was. No. But I'm going to keep going.
That shit was funny. Oh, yeah, she's mad. She's really mad.
How we express our emotions is number four.
Definitely true.
Let's see. If your parents didn't express their emotions, you may have difficulty learning how to identify and express your own emotions. And so I can say that that's kind of partially true for me. I'm getting out of that, you know, now as I'm kind of like in my transition or whatever. But I guess that's why it took longer for my mom. But, like, she never really expressed how she was feeling. Like, right. I knew that she wasn't happy in her relationship, but she never really would say much about it. Like, we would just, you know, catch her crying here, you know, here and there. Or, you know, but she wasn't good at expressing how she felt. And I didn't want that to be myself. Like, right. I knew that, you know, in order for me to be happy, I got to be able to tell the person, okay, what you did or what you said hurt me or made me feel this way. And if I can't do that, then when I can't express myself to you, when I can't be open and honest about how I'm feeling without you turning it back on me, then I can't get with that. How were your parents with expressing their emotions?
They was loud. It's like, sorry, y'all. Y'all were. But, no, they were. Both my parents is super blunt. Mm-hmm. Trina is actually more blunt than William. Like, my mom gives no fucks. I think that's actually probably why I don't give fucks either. But, no, they had that down pack. I give them that. They told each other how they felt with no problem. And everyone else. So, that's probably a problem. No, they were, like, super expressive, and it wasn't always beneficial.
Okay.
You know, some things are left better unsaid, so they don't do that. And my mom's working on it now, but it's a hindrance because I have that too. Like when I get mad, I don't give a fuck. Like, when I'm mad, I'll be saying all types of stuff. I'm getting better, but it used to be really bad.
And see, it takes a lot for me to be mad.
No. I gotta be mad. Like, if I'm mad and you're not getting me, And I'm like, you're not getting my point. Like, you're not getting what I'm trying to say. You're still trying to prove your point, and I just want to hear my point.
Oh, no, only. That pisses me the fuck off.
Yeah, because, like, because I'm about to say something stupid now that's going to piss you off.
Because how do you not understand me when I understand? Like, I try to...
It takes me 2 milliseconds to get you.
I try to understand everybody's point of view, and when you don't take the time to understand my point of view, that just pisses me off.
You be like, what? Huh?
What
you don't get,
What do you mean?
This is what it is.
And then you get, like, a million scenarios trying to dumb the shit down, and they just still like, don't get it.
No, my parents was good on that. They just actually said too much. Which is probably how I got volatile.
Okay, number 5, whether we exhibit controlling behaviors. So if we witness our parents treating each other disrespectfully or being treated disrespectfully, we may learn that that is acceptable and normal behavior. For instance, if one parent is highly controlling and critical of the other parent, we may identify with the controlling parent by being more controlling in our own relationships, or we may identify with the parent being controlled by accepting this from our own partner.
I'm a control freak, so I'm a control freak. Like, bad. Okay. Like, I work on it every day, but I didn't realize until I had Kyla.
I don't really see that was an issue in my parents' relationship.
My mom is a control freak. My dad, too, it depends on what it is.
Like, my mom is
completely one.
My dad was kind of concerned. Like, the only thing I can remember, like, him kind of, like, nitpicking about is, like, my mom wearing stuff that showed, like, a whole bunch of her thighs and stuff. So, like, mm-hmm. if her dresses were too short for church or something like that. Like, but other than that, I don't really remember anything that's, like, super controlling or, you know.
My mom just wanted to know everything.
Like, you gonna wear that to church? Like, that kind of thing.
No, Trina's, like, super controlling. She wants to know everything. Like, she's trying to control my birth, y'all. Like, she's natural. It was mad. Just laughing everything when it didn't go accordingly. yeah. So, but, my dad... He's controlling to an extent, too, because he like the shit to go his way. If it don't go his way, he's, like, super emotional. Mm-hmm. And my mom is like, it's just going to go her way because she's going to make it. So, yeah.
Okay. Number 6, how much independence we crave. So, if your parents were very independent and did most things separately, you may want the same for your relationship. On the flip side, many people tend to want the complete opposite mm-hmm. of what they observed growing up. Having independent parents may lead to a person being extra clingy. Having parents who spoke down to each other may lead to an individual being extra cautious with how they say things and expect the same in return.
My parents, I say my mom was super independent. Because my dad wasn't reliable. Gotcha. So, I think when I told her that, she was like, oh, on the first episode, she was crying. And I'm like, I think, she said she felt like all these years, I hated her. Like, when I was a teenager. And to hear us on Overcooked talking about, like, our parents a little
and
bit.
And what you saw.
Yeah, it made her realize, wow, like, all this.
She stuff, gets it.
Yeah, she got it the whole time. She's maybe expressing it wrong. So, like, I think for me, like, my mom was independent because she had no choice.
Right.
Like, my dad was very reliable. You never knew what you would get from him sometimes, if you would get it at all. And we don't live on hopes and dreams. Like, we live on food, water, and clothes and shelter. So, my mom had to get it. So, I think for me, it was a good thing as far as, like, when I was by myself before I got a relationship and became a mother. But it plays an issue if my mom has to kind of jump in and be the mediator between Rob and I, because she knows the herself before she had to be that way and herself right. being that way now, and she kind of like tries to get Rob on like to get him to understand it, because I don't get him to understand. I just wanted to get it, which is not okay, but it does play a part because I'm like super like I just will do it, just shut up, let me do it. But she has to bring me back, like, you're in a relationship, it's a healthy relationship, you don't have to do everything, y'all only have one kid, first of all, like, chill the fuck out, and he's a parent just like you, like, it could be worse, like, he could not want to be a dad, so please do not take that from him because you feel that you have to, because what you saw, like, I didn't want to do that for your dad, I had no choice because he was not consistent, and y'all don't live on inconsistency.
Okay, so
yeah.
I got two different spectrums there. So when my parents were together, like actually together, mm-hmm. and you know, things were good, like they they had their time where they were together, but they also had their individual lives. And then they had time where they spent time with us and then us separately. So, like, I got to see my parents in a bunch of different dynamics. Like, my mom had her time with her friends. My mom and dad would have their date time. We would have individual time with our mom. We would have individual time with our dad. And then our dad would have time with his friends. So, like, we, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, they were, you know, independent but could come together. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I want that. Like, I want to be able to have that time with my girls, that time with my kids, and then that, you know, one-on-one intimate time with my man.
Like, I would work hard for that.
That's what I saw, you know? Like, it can work. Like, you can have...
You can schedule that time. Like, right. When my parents was good, it's so crazy. My mom, my dad, both... When Rob and I first started dating before Kyle was even a thought... Like, both of them said that. Like, y'all remind us so much of us when we were young, when we first met. Because both Rob and I love to go out, drink. I was a smoker. And we just be lit. Like, and my parents was like that.
Right.
So, before they fell off and became psychos. But, it's something I want to keep. So, him and I have no problem going out together. Like, we actually life of the party. We go out together.
They really are.
Like, we just, you know, like, before we had Kyle, we used to have couples nights. We used to have game nights. Like, I think by the time Rob and I was together, it was my 22nd birthday. So, we threw my 22nd birthday party. Like, it was like a lituation that I could pass out in the basement. But it's great. But that's something I feel like I have to have in a relationship. Like, whomever I'm with, before my parents were not good, they were best friends.
Right.
And whomever I'm with,
We have that.
Like, if we cannot be best friends, I cannot be with you. Like, it's just not going to happen. But my parents, before they weren't good, they had their individuality. Like, my mom is very self-righteous. Like, she has her girls. She does her girls' nights. Like, she was over here last weekend. She was talking about having sip and paints again. I gave her one fucking easel, and now she wants those sip and paint parties. But she... You know, she was like, I just wanted to have my girls. That's like my move. And, you know, Rob has his guy friends. They go out and do shit. And I have my nights with y'all. Like, I don't need that. Like, I don't. My parents, they did that. It's just like when they went bad, they just went bad. And I think my first couple of relationships, I was just trying to make rights of so many wrongs that I saw. I wasn't even just acknowledging, like, what was good. Like, I just, as soon as shit went left, I was just like, gotta fix this, gotta fix that, gotta fix this, because it's about to go real left. It could turn into this, that. Just let it be.
Yeah.
If it's meant to be, it'll be. Like, relax, control freak. So, yeah.
Okay. You touched on how your mom was like, you know, about your mom had to be independent because, you know, she didn't have the support from her dad. So, that was the second part that I wanted to touch on. When they were together, you know, I got to see them in all those different facets. But when they were separated, I got to see really how independent
they both are.
Right. And then, like, it wasn't easy for my mom when they separated because, you know, they had been together for so long. You know, like, your monies are together, you know, everything like that. And then you have these two kids to take care of on your own. So, for me, in this transition, that's why, like, getting a better job and stuff is so important because I never want to have to... depend on another person. I never want to depend, you know? Like, I want to be able to take care of me and the kids by myself if I have to, like...
Mm-hmm. And not be a stress.
Mm-hmm. So, number 7, how trusting we are. A loving, supporting parent encourages a trusting view of others, whereas a hostile, rejecting, or unavailable parent erodes trust and safety and contributes to the belief that others cannot be counted on for love and support. My parents were pretty supportive.
Yeah, both my dad's a liar, but my parents were supportive. I think with that, though, it can go left if you've seen infidelity.
Yeah.
I think that can play a aspect on how you are in relationship.
It makes you look at people differently. Mm-hmm.
That plays a part, but I think more so with that, if you see your parents being unfaithful, then that plays a part in how you are in a relationship because you don't trust nobody.
Yeah.
Even if you've been cheated on anyway, but if you're in a relationship where you've seen your parents do it.
Because it's like.
It makes you like super aware. Like for me, both my parents cheat on each other. And it sounds crazy, but for good reason at times. I didn't know that then, but I know it now. And it played, Ed and I had been cheated on too. So when I got into relationships, like even with Rob, like when we first got together, I was on his neck. Like he could do shit. And I mean, so when I thought that he was doing something, it was all no fucking regard. Because I need to know. Yeah. And I need you to prove to me that you're not doing it. Because I know every fucking thing. Sometimes before you're even doing it. So, yeah. But it was like, you know, my parents, I've seen my mom emotional because she may have thought my dad was, like, my dad has 7 children. Drea and I are his only, or her, my mom's only kids. So that explains a lot. I have a sister that's the same age as me. And my parents are married. We're married. So, yeah. So, my mom has been through a lot. So that's when I say, you know, within their rights. Her stepping out was within her rights. Like, you weren't even respecting me. Maybe I should be somebody that should fucking respect me. Like, what the fuck? But with me, I think I only have stepped out once. And the guy I was with was a similar situation with my fucking mama and my daddy. Like, this nigga could never keep his dick in his pants and with me. Like, it was with someone else all the fucking time. And I was still kind of, like, naive. This is before I became a bitch. So
before I became a bitch.
So I just wanted to see the good in him. And I just, like, he wouldn't do that to me. Like, we're cool. Like, you know, I did everything right. We were friends first, and we dated, then we had sex. But no. And when I just got fed up, and he embarrassed me that one good time, and everybody knew, like, it's one thing to be hearing hearsay, but it's one thing for everybody to know that nigga cheating on you. That's a problem. So, and I'm real good with retaliations. So I just went ahead and got a nigga with his ass. It was in college. He went away one weekend. He went home. And I was talking to this nigga. And the boy I was dating played football, but this nigga played basketball. Kind of childish, actually. Wasn't really thought that way, but it's kind of funny now. Was at the Wawa by the school, girl. And the guy, I wasn't 21, but I was drinking. And the boy was. He was like 22 the whole time. And I was like, can you go in there and get some liquor for my friends? So he was like, yeah, he's trying to fuck. So duh. And so I think we actually already had sex. But it was like, oh my God. I cried. I always am crying. So.
Y'all don't know how many stories that she's
been talking. Because I'd be so attached. I'd be mean, but I don't be wanting to hurt you for real. So he was like, yeah. And so we was talking. He knew my situation, but he didn't give a fuck. And I thought that was cute. I think that's why I liked him, because he didn't give a fuck. So he was like, fuck him. I don't give a fuck. He can't even treat you right. And so he leaned in to kiss me, girl, and the car next to me was full of football players. And I just was sitting there like, like when he backed out from the kiss, I was just staring at the car like pale as fuck. Like pale eyes, big as a bitch. And they was just shaking their head. And I couldn't even do nothing back. And all my friends in the car like, oh, this really just fucking happened. Like, all of us was there like we was in the kids. Like, so my friend ain't had no tent, by the way. Go roll up the windows. They can still see us. They can see us talking about it.
Oh, my God.
But he was just such a, like, I don't give a fuck nigga. And I think that's, like, one of the things that attracted me to Rob, too. Like, when this happened, he just leaned out the kiss, asked everybody what they wanted, he paid for mine, of course, but he took the other girl's money, went in there and bought the shit, looked back at them, said what's up to the ones he knew and kept going. Knew the situation, though. So, he knew why they were there. So, that was it. But that was my first and only time ever doing that, though. Like, stepping out on somebody. But that was regarded. I needed to do that. Okay. Because that boy cried. And I wanted him to cry.
He cried, and I wanted him to cry.
Because I cried too many times behind him.
Is that when you became a bitch?
Yeah. Because when he found out, of course they called him. I knew that shit was going to happen. Probably called him while he was in the car. And so, when he came back to campus, like, I had told him, like, I'm really sick of your shit. So, when he came back to campus, we kind of already went out before he left. So, when that happened, I kind of, like, iced on the gate. And we met up, and he was like, why would you do this to me? Da, 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 da. And I'm just sitting there looking just like this. Like, and your point, you cheated 75,000 times, and my one little Wawa kiss is doing this? Like, this is a lot. Not knowing I had fucked him, but I got that out later, too. When he was talking about what I did, I just was like, well, I had sex with him, so. Like, what?
Well, alrighty then. So, those are the, trusting.
Those are good. Those are real.
Right.
Very real.
And so I'm sure that there are others.
Oh, yeah, though.
Like, there has to be other things that, you know, your parents do that affect you. But I thought that these seven were, you know, pretty good. And so, yeah, like I said, we're going to post the link to the article in the bio. Mm-hmm. And for this episode, I thought it'd be kind of cool if we went back to the Mama's Remedies thing.
Mm-hmm. It would be.
So, for me, like I said, you know, I've been kind of reflecting and stuff. I have different questions that I have for both of my parents that, you know, I just kind of need and want answers to.
I just did that for myself.
Before, you know, I move forward, you know, in my life or, you know, getting into other relationships that I think would, you know, would help me. Like I said, I have questions for my mom and questions for my dad.
You gonna be like, when you do this shit, like, it's gonna take so much off your back.
And so I feel like talking to my mom, I know that's gonna be easy because if I ask her something, she's gonna be completely open mm-hmm. and honest. But talking to my dad is gonna be a little more difficult because he's a little more reserved. Like, I love my daddy to death, don't get me wrong, but like, there are things that I want to know about him that
you don't know.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he was in my life my whole life, so it makes no sense that I don't know him. Like,
yeah.
And so that's one thing that I look for. I need a partner that's open. Like, I need to know who you are.
Everything
like,
about you.
You know?
Everything about you.
And so, like I said, there are questions that's what I'm doing for me. Asking my mom questions and asking my dad questions and getting those answers for myself. What about for you? What would your remedies be in regards to?
Well, like you said, I actually did that a few months ago with my mom. Like, I had a lot, like, my family, my mom and I are really working to try to break this between her and my sister and I and just going forward, but we have a lot of secrets. My mother has grew up on a lot of family secrets. So, my sister's in school to get her bachelor's in psychology as well. Okay. So, my mom has two kids that are really in her brain all the fucking time, unknowingly. Both Aquariuses. But,
I didn't know Drea was an Aquarius.
Her birthday the 13th of February, yeah. So, we really have been working on just being open and just talking about really everything. Like, I'm going to tell her every fucking thing. She on mama and just shit. Some shit just fucking weird. Right. But we had a conversation. It was like a 3-hour conversation one day. And it was just like a lot I had on my heart that she didn't know, but she knew because she's my mama, but I didn't know she knew. And we just talked about it. And at the end of the conversation, we both came to the agreement, like, this is things we need to talk about to break these generational curses and these fucking secrets. Like, why do we keep everything from each other? The shit can come to light anyway. And I know from my mom, she's working with that, you know, with Drea. We really working hard with that with Drea. Like, Drea's coming, she's younger, so we're not that young, but she's in a place where she don't even, like, got to experience those things that my mom and I.
Because she has y'all to show her, hey, so you can do it this way.
We super open with her. Like, I know her friends were like, damn, she can do anything. But it's not that, but I didn't need enough for Drea not to know what the fuck, like,
right.
Don't be doing that because I did it already. And you know how that ended up for me. So, like, just really being open.
Yeah.
Like, I think within our community, just African-American community,
we need to be more open. Like,
we're very closed off. There's a lot of secrets. And there is, especially if you're a religious household, which both my parents came from two different backgrounds, but they were both religious. And my dad, yes, he was religious, but they didn't keep secrets, but they were more of like sugarcoaters and putting patches on everything. Versus just fixing it. Versus my mom, they didn't talk about shit. And it was never spoken of. Like, it happened, and we never spoke of it.
And so, I feel like that's so part of the reason. That's part of the reason that I have a hard time opening up about some mm-hmm. of the things that, you know, I've been through. Because you don't talk about that. Like,
yeah,
you know?
That's my mom grew up. So, we just working to break that. Like, I don't want Kyler to grow up like Rob and I. It's so funny because our families like that too. Like, they hold a lot of shit in. Like, they have a lot of secrets and patch up a lot of shit and nothing ever gets talked about. But Rob is such a blunt motherfucker. But I can see why. Because of that. And I'm the same way. Like, I don't want Kyle to grow up like that. Like, I didn't more so. Well, I did. Technically, yeah. I didn't have the secrets, but I grew up amongst everybody else's secrets. And I just don't want Kyle to grow up like that. So, just being more open. Creating more of a safe space. Because I think that's a bigger issue too. Like, people don't want
we
to
don't,
talk about
they,
it.
We don't have like anybody to talk about it. Space you know. Yeah.
So working for that.
Yeah. And I guess another
remedy would be therapy.
Mm-hmm. Mental health is wealth.
You know?
Your brain ain't right. You can't do shit.
You can't do shit. Like, you know, and sometimes you need a professional, you know?
Yeah.
Not just the person that you went through it with, not just your parent, but you need, you know, a non-biased individual who can, you know.
Somebody that's trained, that can really give you the insight that you need. Like, it's nothing wrong with having a sister circle, but sometimes if it's something detrimental that's affecting you as far as how you do everyday shit, you need to talk, doesn't matter. Like, and your sister circle can give you there, your family, your friends, whatever, your nigga, whatever, but you do need that sometimes. Like, we're as a community are getting better. You know, mental health used to be a big thing with niggas, but we're getting better.
Yeah, like, there are a lot of podcasters coming out about mental health.
Yeah, that are African-American.
You know, there are a lot of African-Americans who are now realizing the benefits of mental health treatment. Mm-hmm. And so, like, don't think that you're crazy because you want to go talk to a therapist. Like, it's okay. And, like, they make it so easy now. You don't have to go to a therapist. You can, you know, get therapy on your phone. You can do therapy through video chat. Like, there are other ways to do it. They have anonymous therapy sessions through text message. So, like, there's no excuse. Like, it's no excuse why we got damaged people walking around. Because
at all.
There are multiple ways that you can
help. It's just your willingness to want to help yourself and do better. Like, once this quarantine's over, I'm getting back to therapy. I've been in therapy twice when I was a kid. I was in therapy after... I was in trauma therapy from when we got robbed, and I was in therapy once my parents broke up, because it was just so much, like, it was just too much too fast. But, and so when I get, now that, like, the whole trauma stuff has resurfaced, now that I'm grown and I'm a parent, and I have a household that I have to protect, so it's starting to, like, reappear.
Yeah.
So, it was something that was suppressed, so I'm going to go back to therapy for that, and just for my well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big thing. Like, I'm totally for it. I'm all for people going to therapy. It's a little biased, but...
The first time I ever did therapy was after the bank robberies. Mm-hmm. And, like, honestly, the first 3 weeks were about the damn robbery. And then it was just...
Yeah, typically, therapy. Yeah, like, typically
she
it's
She was
just,
amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm all for therapy. Like,
mm-hmm. This is very beneficial. Like, I,
and even if, like, I don't know, you learn so many different little things that, like,
that'll last.
You, that, like, even if you stop going to therapy, you can use these little tricks and tools to, like, get you through difficult situations. And I be using them, y'all. Like, I got tools in my toolbox. Like, I be,
You pay your little copay, you're damn right.
Oh, no, the bank paid for that, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, when now, I know one of the biggest things as far as, like, mental health and stuff like that, because I'm big on, like, CBD and clearing your mind. Like, I lat girl last night. Why am I on Amazon looking for CBD gummies, right? Because my working out, it's been killing me. My body be aching, like, in places I didn't know I could ache.
And you can't go to the store?
Yeah, to get anything, because the store's just closed. They're not essential business. So, why am I on Amazon? And the little cannabis store I found on Amazon, well, they're not cannabis, so like hemp-based, whatever. They sell a sex toy. It's like, what kind of vibe? Like, such a vibe. Rob was like, can you get off of that? And I'm like, wow, they're a vibe. Like, they're selling edibles and dildos. Like, you are really getting the vibe. Let me loosen you up and stick it in your head. It was male and female. But I'm like, on Amazon? Like, Amazon said, I'm not missing a beat in this quarantine.
Amazon said they're getting all their coinage. Okay.
But yeah, like, I haven't really been on CBD. So, yeah. Trying to make sure I stay calm. Because, yeah, I ate an edible for 20 minutes, I tell you that. I did.
How was it?
So, Crystal made me an edible. It was a Rice Krispie treat. Again. But it wasn't the big, it wasn't the family size. It was like the regular square. Okay. And it had like marshmallows in it. I was high as gas. They had to get on me again because I did the same shit again. Tried to eat the whole thing in one setting. Okay. But it was really good. It's just, it's like, I think, okay, I had to test it out. So I see why I stopped doing weed. So when I smoke or eat anything that's edible-ish, when I have sex, like, I can't control myself.
What do you mean?
Like, I can't control myself. Like, I don't have no control. I don't like that. That ain't cool. I mean, you got a relationship, so it's okay. But
when you say no, what do you mean no control?
Like, I don't let anything happen. Like, that.
If y'all could have just seen her face.
Like, that's why. Like, I kept telling Rob, like, something's wrong down there. He was like, what? Like, it feels fine to me. Like, it was like, if I could explain, like, it was like, I was like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I was just like, like, all the blood was down there. Like, all the blood.
So you just made you super aroused.
I hadn't even done nothing. Like, I was still eating it, actually. Yeah, it was concerning. I don't like that feeling. It's scary. I couldn't close my legs.
So it was like you had taken one of those pink pussy pills.
Yes.
Without taking one of the pink pussy pills.
So then I was like, okay, let me see if I was just horny. So I smoked some weed, too. And it did it again. One pop. So yeah, I can't do weed. That's not my thing.
So maybe that's what you need to do when y'all get this little chick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When I get my little boo thing, side chick, whatever, yeah, I'm going to try that. Now that I know. Like, I had to test it out. Like, maybe just the edible. And I had to text Crystal and was like, I don't know what the fuck aphrodisiac you gave me.
You put a spell on your shit.
She was laughing so hard. She was like, it was just a regular edible. I didn't even get to try it. And I was like, you should have, damn it, before you gave it to me. Now I'm really scared because you didn't even eat your own fucking product. You just gave it to me. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, guys, that is all we have for you today.
Yes, yes, yes. So, this week, you're going to hear us. Again, I really missed you last week. Rob was scared and stuff. Like, I had to get him warmed up. I had to rev him up. But you're going to hear us, of course, duh. And then you're going to hear the last Q&A, which is myself, my mother, and my sister.
I cannot wait to hear that.
It's funny. Like, it's not as funny as y'all. Like, mine's like Ayala, like, saved my life, too. I didn't think it was going to go that way because I didn't plan for that, but that's what happened.
So, you got emotional?
Like, yeah, and I'm like, and I was, like, when we was, I was drunk. Y'all going to probably hear that, though, because, yeah. Anyway, too many mimosas. two bottles of champagne. Gone. But, yeah, like, it got deeper than I thought it was. Like, my sister was, like, super introspective, very proud of her.
Okay.
With her to be the baby. Okay. She was real deep. So, yeah.
Well, we've still been putting in work during this quarantine. Mm-hmm. We hope you appreciate it. With this episode, since it's about our, you know, how our parents' relationship affect our relationship, send us some DMs. Tell us things that...
Yes, I will put
up
a poll.
Your parents' relationships... Things that, you know, you saw in your parents' relationships that you're taking into yours, and things that you
saw
that...
I'll probably put that up tomorrow.
You don't like. Like, Ashley said she's going to put the post up, but mm-hmm. when you hear this... Send us a DM. Tell us some stuff. Tell us some stories. Like,
oh, yeah, I have started to get DMs now.
We want to hear from
you. I love this episode. You guys are really cute. When it's so fun. Be better.
All right. Well, yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Keep them coming. We love it. Like, and, you know, the more we get, we'll think of something, like, to do to, like, you know, shout you out or, you know.
I think what I'm going to start doing is, once my light get here, because I ain't here yet. Yeah. Anyway. Somebody in my neighborhood is fucking having a movie theater outside. Like, I've been hearing it the whole time we've been recording. Okay. Anyway, they have a fucking Paramount Studios. But I think what I'm going to do is we're going to do, like, an IG live. And, but I want the light to be here so the light can be right.
Okay, so you do know that since we in this quarantine that you got to let me know at least 4 days ahead
of time.
Oh,
yeah. I'm going to do that.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that. And I think once the light gets here to learn how to work it, like, real good, we're going to... Because it's going to take about a week. And I'm reading reviews. I'm a little scared because people say their phone holder didn't come with the light. So now I'm really fucking scared because I'm going to have to return it and wait another damn month to get it. But anyway, so I'm just praying I have the phone holder. But we're going to probably start recording and putting them on YouTube.
Okay.
So.
Y'all get to see it.
Yeah. So I got to make sure my hair is done like today. But yeah,
I got to dress halfway decent for the recording room stuff. Like, I look cute today, but I don't
know. No, because on cocktails, Kiki had an oversized t-shirt and some braids. I know she slapped in her damn self with some track hair. She looked cute. She had her eyelashes, but she looked homely. She looked really homely. So, love her to death, but look homely. So, yeah, is there anything else?
No, I'm just excited about our future. Like,
yeah, me too.
I think just see us doing great things and, like,
especially with the quarantine's over.
Yes. So, like, y'all just stick with us. Tell your friends to tell their friends to tell their friends to tell their friends to tell their mamas.
We're going to start having more guests, too. So.
Yes. Like, hey, if you guys are a podcast and you want us on during the quarantine, let us know. Because we want to partner up with some new podcasts. Like, get our faces out there. with your audience, get your faces out there with our audience. So
let us know. And there will start being more content with our faces. Because I'm learning, like, you know.
Yeah, because, like, we want y'all, like, we aren't ugly. Like, we just legit are just starting out and right. wanted to make sure we could do this before we, like, you know.
Start putting our face all on it. But.
Yeah.
So yes, we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Have you been wanting to try new things in the bedroom but aren't really sure where to start? Are you hesitant or skeptical to visit sex stores? If you fit in either of these categories or are just interested in adding to your toy box of goodies, Blexbox is what you need. Blexbox is a curated subscription box with hand-picked sexual wellness products curated with your melanin in mind. Explore new and exciting products without ever leaving your home. It's literally intimacy delivered to your front door. So what are you waiting for? Get your Blexbox subscription now.